praying the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Very quickly, we'll summon up three, because step three says that once I'm convinced, the first requirement is that I be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. That basis, we're almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. I need to be convinced that life run by me is not working. It's not about the drinking anymore. Now we start talking about why I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. It's what we start diving into at this point. The plug is in the jug now, and I'm left with Teresa. And I come into the rooms, and I recognize that, yes, I have this allergy of the body and this obsession of the mind. And that I don't get to pick up a drink today. But now, how do I live? How do I live in my own skin? You say this higher power has helped you in your life and has done something to change your life that has allowed you not to drink today. But how did that happen? You make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand Him. Okay, now what? My sponsor gives this analogy. She has been saying this for years before I even got here. She says you have a toilet bowl full of shit. Okay? I want you to visualize your toilet bowl full of caca. Poo-poo. You get a glass of water. I don't have the clear glass, but let's say it's a clear. You get a clear glass of water. I take this bottle of water, and you pour it into the toilet bowl of shit. What do you have in the toilet bowl? Water and shit. The more clear glass of water you pour in the toilet bowl, just the shit rises. In order to get a clear bowl of toilet water, you have to remove the shit. She told me that the glass of water are our prayers and affirmations and all these cute little sayings that we do. And you pour it into this toilet bowl and all you get is shit. So therefore, I must clean house. I must clean house. Because with the shit in my toilet bowl is old ideas, old thinking, old resentment, old issues. There's just no way that's going to change. People get stuck on step three. They make a decision, but they never fly off the branch. I used to hear this old timer say, you can't be stuck on step three. Step three says make a decision. If you ain't made a decision, you ain't on three. You still trying to come to believe. Because once you have made that decision, you've got no other choice but immediately to launch into action. That's the only place I can go. Because the answer to three is in four. I need to be convinced that life run by me don't work. And the only way I'm going to be convinced is to see it. Everything around here has to do with experience, not opinions, not theories, not just ideas. I need to see so that I can be convinced that life run by me has not worked. It hasn't. It has served me no purpose. It hasn't brought me anything but misery and discomfort. How else am I going to see it other than four? It tells me in three, after I'm convinced, it says that I am selfish, self-centered, and self-seeking, driven by 100 forms of fear. I'm usually the great critic, always trying to run the show. I'm the one that's always trying to run things, arrange the lights and the ballet and the scenery. What usually happens? I'm in collision with something or somebody. The show doesn't go off well. People, you end up snatching everything out of the show. Nothing ever works out right. I've been spending my life trying to run everything. Everything. I have done everything possible to reach outside of me to be happy, and I've always come up short. It says the victor never seems to win. Always come up short. I never quite reach the shore. I never quite get there. Why is that? What happens? What is the reason that I am restless, irritable, and discontent? It tells me that I must get down to causes and conditions. I need to find out the true nature of my disease. It says the first requirement is that I have to quit playing God. It don't work. It's interesting, when I didn't even think there was a God, didn't realize that I was playing God all along. But somebody who think there wasn't one, I have been playing one. How have I been playing one? I've been running everything. Everything. It says, this is in the bottom of page. I got 62. What do you got in 62? In the fourth? So our troubles, we think of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is an example, an extreme example of self will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so, which takes away that excuse. So if you have a moment where you go, I don't think so, it goes, I know, you usually wouldn't. I love that. I don't think so. Exactly. We usually don't. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of selfishness. We must, or it'll kill us. God makes that possible. Oh my, there's that God thing again. And there often seems no way entirely of getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us have had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. That is the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple, but this concept was the keystone of the new and triumph arch to which we passed to freedom. That's where I passed to freedom. I make a decision to go, okay, let him be the director, the principal, he's the father. I mean, how's that going to hurt? Let's see what happens. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things happened. We had a new employer being all-powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept him close and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life, and we felt a new power flow in, and we enjoyed a peace of mind. Isn't that what I want? As we discover we can face life successfully, isn't that what I want? As we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose fear of today, tomorrow, and hereafter. Isn't that what I want? See, I need to ask myself, do I want that? Because if I don't, they used to tell me, we'll gladly refund you of your misery. It is refundable. It sounds harsh, but it's true. I need to ask myself, do I want what? This is a third step promise. Do I want that? Does it sound something appealing to me? Because if it isn't, I don't have to do this work. If I don't want that, why do the rest of the work? But I wanted it. I wanted to know what that's like. That I don't have to figure out all my plans and designs. I never spend my life going, what can I contribute to life? I never did that. That sounds fascinating. I wonder what that would be like. To feel a new power flow in? That's interesting. And to enjoy a peace of mind? Oh, goodness. Isn't that what I prayed for in the church? For my head to shut up? To just have a peace of mind? For my head to just relax for once? To face life successfully? Not in the success in which I think. Having money, power, and prestige. But to live life on life terms. To deal with all sorts of things. Do I want that? It's important you ask yourself that. we became conscious of his presence. Then I began to lose my fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. I lived my life in fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. I was always terrified about what's to come, what has happened, what's going to happen tomorrow. I want to lose that. I want to know what that feels like to not trip like that. We were now on step three. Many of us said to our Maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victor over them may bear witness to those that would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. That's a deep prayer. Relieve me of the bondage of me. Not of you, of me. Take away my difficulties. That means I'm the cause of all my problems. I have been in the way all the time. So we do the third step prayer. That's a prayer that we should know as a mantra. Yeah, I know that prayer like the back of my hand. We'll be saying that one a lot. Said we thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready. Are you ready? I had to ask myself, am I ready? Because if I'm not ready, that's okay. Am I ready? What does that mean? Wholeheartedly? The only step I do perfectly is step one. Am I ready? Yeah, I'm ready. I have an open mind to the possibility. Sure. I'm ready. Am I ready in what way? I want something different. That's all I need to come here with. I want a different life. I'm ready. Let's give it a shot. After it says that we do this, it even says, in the end, says, voicing it without reservation. That's interesting. Voicing it without reservation. I'm done, man. I'm tired. That's all I remember, that I was tired. I was. I just didn't want what I had. I'm not quite sure what you guys got, but I know I don't want what I got. I don't want what I got. And it says, this was only the beginning. Oh, goodness gracious. It seemed like so much. We are not at the end yet. This is only the beginning. Though if honestly and humbly made an effect, sometimes a very great, great one is felt at once. I don't know if the sky opened up for me, but I know I had a sigh of relief. It was like, I've been trying to manage and control my whole life. It says, next we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. So they jump from that prayer to saying, be clear and be sure that's what you want to do. And the very next paragraph, it says, next we launched out on a course of vigorous action. Does anything say there? Wait, pause, take your time, sit around for a while, contemplate on that for a minute. They don't say nothing like that. Stay stuck there for a second. Sit on that for a couple of years and see what happens. And they use specific words like launch, vigorous, action. What's launch? I mean, these words are intense. Like a locomotive, boy. Go, 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 go. Not when I find some time. When I have some free time, perhaps.
Launch. Set afloat. Hurl or send forth, set in motion, act of launching.
Set in motion, act of launching. Go for it! What's vigorous?
Bigger, physical or mental strength or energy.
physical strength or energy. I don't hear no slacking in here whatsoever. None of these words tell me that I got a whole lot of time. I always say I ran to the steps. I ran to them like oxygen. No time for delay. The first step is a personal house cleaning. I gotta go get rid of the shit out of the toilet bowl. And it says, which many of us have never attempted. I know I didn't never did that before. Maybe perhaps you're different here in this part of town and y'all spend most of your lives doing house cleaning, but I know I never did a personal house cleaning. At no time in my life did I ever go, let me take a look within myself and see what's really going on. I always go, let me see what's wrong with you. I've done that. Though our decision was a vital and critical step, it could have little or permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. Our liquor is but a symptom. This is when they now tell me that drinking is only but a symptom. That is not really what I suffer from. Isn't that something? You think just stopping drinking is helping you? You scarier than when you was drinking. Because you are restless, irritable, and discontent. Oh, that seems so painful. What did you look up, Johnny? Oh, did you look up something? It's all right. Our liquor is but a symptom. So we had to get down to the causes and conditions. What is going on with Teresa? What is happening with me? Why is it that I keep picking this thing up? I have this allergy. I get the obsession. But why am I restless, irritable, and discontent? Why am I so uncomfortable when I'm not drinking? What is that about? Why is it hard for me to wake up and face the day? Why am I so angry and frustrated and bitter? What is that? Where does that come from? I need to know. I have to know. Because if I don't find out, I'm going to go do what I know works. Is get that ease and comfort that comes from the first drink. Therefore, we started upon a personal house cleaning. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. I love this paragraph. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding, fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged and unsalvageable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of a business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. I've had businesses, and I've been aware that a good business will go broke if it does not take stock. I cannot have a grocery store and leave spoiled milk, oranges, and apples, and bananas, and expect to make money. Can't do it. I got items that have an expiration date. And it has been over 2 years ago. And I'm wondering why nobody is buying from my store. And I'm complaining and I'm not realizing that I have garbage on my shelf. I need to do a regular inventory to keep items fresh and up to date. I got to get rid of what's not good, keep what is. I understand that as a business person. I understood this paragraph because as a business person, that makes total sense. But I never did that with my life. Never. I'll do it in your life. I'll be glad to point out what you need to get rid of. Oh, goodness. I said we did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. It says honestly. Keyword, honestly. Not lied about it. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations. I always say after my inventory, I recognize that I am no longer the CEO of Teresa Incorporated. I got my pink slip, my walking papers. I am lucky that I have a clerk job. I've done so poorly in my company. Teresa Incorporated has been broke and damaged for years. Still trying to stay afloat. The first thing I got to do is resentments. Resentment is my number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it all stems all forms of spiritual disease. For we have not only been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. This is the area where it says, where the spiritual malady is overcome, we are straightened out mentally and physically in that order. In dealing with resentments, we put them on paper. I've heard a lot of people do different forms of inventory. This is the only one I'm familiar with because it works for thousands of men and women. I don't know how the other ones work for people. You got to give me numbers. There are different types. People do biography, or they do off of a sheet of paper that has something there, or you do your life story. I have no idea. All I know is what's written here. This worked for these people, so I want to do this. It's telling me that resentments are killing me. I got some. What's a resentment? Most of us are not sure what it is. I like the inventory. Some people can't stand the inventory. I like the inventory. The inventory is totally cool.
Mm-hmm. Resent. Feel indignation at, be aggravated by.
Ah, be aggravated by. Get that one. I got lots of people I'm aggravated by.
Indignation.
I got a lot of people I'm pissed off at. It's funny, that's another area where I hear a lot of people kind of go, inventory? Oh my God. Oh, I'm so scared. I was like, all you did was do an inventory and you stay sober? Where's the pen and paper? I was willing to do so much more out there for a drink, for a fix, for a pill, for a hit, and all you're doing is putting things in columns? Y'all crack me up, man. Hey, hey, trip me out. You know what I've done to not drink or manage and control my life? I have done the most incomprehensible, demoralizing things for the next fix, pill, or hit, or drink. And you guys are just putting things in columns on a piece of paper, and you're free? Where's the pen and paper? Give me a pencil, a crayon. I don't care. Let's do this. Most people are terrified. Oh, my secrets, my secrets. You don't even know the secrets. You have no idea what a secret is. Most of the stuff that we put in our inventory is not a secret. It's not. How many times I sat at a bar and sang the victim song about what people have done to me? That ain't no secret. People are so worried about, oh my God, my secrets. What secrets are you talking about? I told you how bad I was my whole life. So you could feel sorry for me. Oh, how the world has wronged me. Mommy and Daddy have been so cruel. Secrets. And all they did was tell me to write it down. We're not even at 5 yet. You see, I didn't worry about the next one. I did the one I was on. They told me to do an inventory. Let's do the inventory. We'll figure out what we're going to do with it later. We think too much around here. That's what they told me. You think too much. Well, what am I going to do with it? If I say that, who's going to read it? You're worried too much. Just do the daggone columns. We'll figure out what we're going to do with it later. Bless you. They told me to write the people that I was resentful at. I did the people's names, column by column. They told me not to go across because you get too morbid and we get all deep and we never finish. I just wrote names down. I didn't question them. I didn't ask where they were coming from. I just wrote them down. This program is designed for living. This inventory wasn't just an exercise. This inventory is going to teach me how to live. Mm-hmm. This was a new tool, a new way of living that to this day, I use this in every area of my life. Mm-hmm. Just having a conversation with you, I'm doing this. While you're talking to me, I'm like, uh-oh, I don't like her. She's saying something real funny to me. Starting to piss me off. Don't care for that much. Okay. As the person's talking to me. Huh, what is this affecting? I think it's affecting my self-esteem. Yep, sure is. Mm-hmm. My security's been threatened about right now. Not cute. Uh-oh, some stuff is coming up. This is definitely affecting my relationship with you because I don't like you about right now. Personal relationship is jacked. And if you're my partner, we will not be having sex tonight. That's just been affected. Oh, goodness. Then it tells me later on that I have to pray for this person and go, this person is spiritually sick as I am too. How can I be helpful to them? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done, not mine. You know what? What does this have to do with me? Why is this making me so uncomfortable? I'm being real selfish right now. I don't want you to say what you're saying to me. I don't like it. I'm being very self-seeking. I want what I want. Because if you didn't say that, I wouldn't have to get what I get. I wouldn't have to feel the way I'm feeling. I don't like that very much. And I'm being dishonest because I got a smile on my face looking at you, but I'm thoroughly pissed. And I'm not saying anything about it. I'm also being dishonest about what I got to do with this situation and how it's affecting me. And the fact that I did something to you earlier and that's why you're responding to me. And I'm afraid. Oh, I'm so terrified. I'm terrified that you're going to know the truth about me. I'm terrified that perhaps you're going to be able to harm me. And to hurt me, and I'm scared. God, please remove those things from me. Take that away from me so I could be of maximum service to them, to you. Please help me, God. Take away those things that are blocking me right now. I can do that in a conversation with a person, and you wouldn't even know. Mm-hmm. While I'm pausing and keeping my big mouth shut. And then the next thing that comes out of my mouth is amazing. It's amazing. The program works. It's not just exercises on a piece of paper. It is the blueprint for life. It gives me this tool. I never did that before. I never looked at resentments, even what they were and how they operate. And they gave me a method in which they flow. And it tells me to write down these resentments and to look at how they affected. I didn't even realize how things affected me. That they affect my self-esteem, my security, my pocketbook, my personal relations. That's why I'm so upset. It affects my basic instincts. These are my basic instincts. You are threatening my survival mechanisms, my self-esteem, my pride. You're affecting that right now. And we either fight or we flight. Those are the two things I do when you threaten that. I run or jack you up. I never knew that. I am taking stock. I am looking at why Teresa ticks the way she does. Why do I move the way I do? Why do I cringe the way I cringe? Why am I restless, irritable, and discontent? Because you're saying things and I'm uncomfortable. They're affecting them in me. I don't know what to do, either fight or flight. I have no tools to deal with it. So you know what I do? I go and I drink. Because I don't know how to talk to you. I don't know how to deal with those things that are affecting me. I don't know what to do with that. I feel unworthy. I feel unloved. I feel mistreated. I don't know how to deal with that. Nobody ever taught me how to deal with that. I drank. Bless you. And when I drank, I said, I don't care what you're saying to me. It doesn't matter anymore. But now I'm sober and it does matter. That's why when we get sober, we're so sensitive. We are so sensitive over everything. Because we're thawing out I'm starting to feel the stuff, you know what I mean? Those core things. I came in here really damaged. Really damaged. I had a long overhauling to do, boy. Ooh, my toilet bowl was full. My toilet bowl was full. I looked at the resentments against people, places, institutions. It's okay. All I needed to do was look at it. And I saw this huge bag of rocks that I was walking around with. A pile of rocks. You want to really see what it feels like to walk around with resentments? Get you a huge, like a laundry bag, a big sack, and fill it up with rocks and walk around with it all day long and see what happens. You'd be so ready to let that go. I give you another quick example in old time. I love old timers, man. They've helped me so much. They give me so many nuggets. They told me if you ever have an issue with control and letting go, okay, you're struggling with that area, this is a very good exercise that will help you. Get you a block of X-Lax. How do you have X-Lax? X-Lax is like when you can't move your bowels and you take something so that you can shit. What is that?
Laxative,
right? But we have laxative. Do you have it? It comes like a chocolate bar. It's a big bar. You break off a little piece. But it goes like in a bar. But whatever you use as a laxative, okay, get a big chunk of it. Or a big bottle, whatever. Okay? Drink it or eat it. All of it. Okay? After, for a few minutes, your stomach is going to start to rumble a little bit. Okay? And you're going to feel a little bit of cramping. And you're going to feel like something wants to come out. And he says, I want you to hold it really, really, really tight. Don't let it out. Whatever you do, don't let it out. Now, you make sure you do everything under your power to not let anything seep out, spill out, or come out. Just hold on to it as tight as you can. Don't let it out. He said, and when you're tired of holding on so tight, and your stomach is just screaming, and your butthole just wants to seep out, and stuff is bubbling, and you can't take it anymore, so just sit on the toilet and let go. I love old timers. That's a good analogy, yeah? He said, that's a good exercise if you're confused about letting go. No matter how hard you try, eventually you gotta let that go. And that's the same thing here. How much stuff have I been holding on to that I refuse to let go? And it's been boiling up, it's been cramping inside of me, it's seeping out, and I'm doing everything possible not to let it out. And it's killing me. And I didn't even know it. So I do an inventory of my resentments, on my fears. I love how it says fears is like an evil corroding thread running through the fabric of the existence of my life. Ooh, I like that. An evil corroding thread that runs through the fabric of the existence of my life. Man, the words they choose are so beautiful. A thread is so thin. If you look at fabric in a sweater, there's thread in here. It's so thin, and it's just running all the way through. It runs through. Fear runs. I'm dominated by fear. All my decisions are based on fear. I didn't even know that. Oh, because I'm not a punk. I'm not a scary cat. No, I got lots of them. Lots of them. All I get to do with my fears in the inventory is I get to list, and I get to say to myself, why do I have them? Where did they come from? And then it tells me, wasn't it because self-reliance failed you? You know how many people don't do fear and sex inventory? Like somewhere in there, all you gotta do is resentment? That's not what it tells me in here. It tells me to do resentment, fear, and sex. That's an inventory. I ask myself, why do I have a fear of dogs? Because when I was in the first grade, this dog chased me down the block. And I ran on top of a car, and it started barking and barking, and the owner never came out. That's why I got fear of dogs. That's why I have them. And then What have you done? What have I done to deal with this fear problem? I cross the street whenever I see a dog. I don't go into somebody's house who has a dog. I stay away from dogs. I don't get a dog. I don't like you if you have a dog. And then it says, ask yourself, has that fear problem been removed? No, it has not. That has not gotten rid of my fear of dogs. So wasn't it because self-reliance has failed me? Yes, self-reliance has failed me. What's the point of this inventory? So I can be thoroughly convinced that life run by me is not working. That every way in which I handle resentment has not worked. Every which way that I've handled fear has not worked. And oh, we get into the sex. Oh my. I love that it says we stay out of that controversy. Some people want you to go on a straight pepper diet. Others cry out for sex and more sex. It says we stay out of that. We don't get into the whole sex thing with people. Some people, and in our meetings, people say don't get into a relationship for a year. I don't know about that. It doesn't say that anywhere in the book. They told me you could do whatever you want to do in this program as long as you're willing to deal with the consequences. My sponsor told me you can get into a relationship, but I don't know what kind of relationship you're getting into. You don't even know, because you don't even know who you are. She said, what are you bringing to that relationship as opposed to what you think you're trying to get out of it? You're bringing your sick self to that relationship. Your choices are sick. And until you clean house, you won't know that. But you can do whatever you want. That's what they told me. Or hurry up and do them so that you can get into a relationship. Hurry up. Clean house. So that I can attract who I am. We attract who we are. Sick attracts sick. Like attracts like. So I want a clean house. And get in touch with the sunlight of the spirit. So that now I'm attracting that into my life. It's what I want in my life. Something that is healthy, that is whole, that is complete, that is beautiful. Because I am whole, I'm complete, I'm beautiful, I'm healthy. So I can get into a relationship, but what am I getting in a relationship with? What am I bringing? I'm bringing my resentments, my fears, my sex conduct. That don't sound cute. And when she put it that way, I was like, oh. She just took the fun out of all of it. Guess I can't do that. In the sex relationship, that's a cute ring. In the sex relationship area, it tells me we stay out of that controversy. God alone judges our sex conduct. But there are things that I get to ask myself. I'm going to read them real quick. Time's going by so fast. Oof. On page 69. It's still 69 in the fourth edition. I love the number. Real quick, that reminds me of an old timer who said that his sponsor was so old that he was a bit dyslexic. And he would do things backwards, right? He would get things backwards, his sponsor. So he went to his sponsor and he says, hey, when are we going to talk about sex? I want to know when I can get into a relationship. I want to talk about this sex thing. So his sponsor said, I want you to read page 96 instead of 69. Right? And what I love about it is that this is what 96 says. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. It says, you are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. That was funny. keep chasing a man. Who don't want to work with you? That's funny. Don't you love that? So it doesn't matter where you go in the book, everything applies. But real quick, it says, we reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where have we been selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate? I just get to ask myself that. And I get to write that down. In this relationship, where am I being selfish? What is it that I want? Where am I being inconsiderate? I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about what I want. Where am I being dishonest? That's the truth of the matter. I'm not considering you at all. I have needs I want to fulfill, and I'm only focusing on that. Doesn't matter about your relationships, if you're married, unmarried, you got a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a family. I don't care. I just want what I want. I'm not considering you because I'm not being honest with you. I'm not telling you that I just need to be laid or that I'm just looking to be with somebody. I need a warm body. I'm not going into a relationship saying, hey, can you fix me? I have an empty hole. Can you fill it? I'm not doing that. I'm sending in my agent and acting like it's all good. I'm pretending to be something that I'm not. I'm lying. Whom had we hurt? How many people did I hurt to get what I wanted? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness all the time? I thought jealousy was love. If you're jealous of me, then you love me, yeah? Bitterness all the time. So much hurt was going on, we were forever bitter. Where were we at fault? Where was I at fault? What did I do? What could I have done instead? Could I have done something instead? Maybe not sleep with my boyfriend's best friend. What could I have done instead of that? Could I have not got into that relationship because I wasn't ready? What could I have done instead if I could? And we got this all down on paper. After I got it on paper in this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound idea of our future sex life. That's all. We subjected each relationship to the test. Was it selfish or not? And we asked God to mold our ideals to help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised or loathed. I need to ask myself, before I get in a relationship, am I using this lightly? Am I using this selfishly to fulfill my own needs? Whatever our ideals turn out to be, we must be willing to grow towards them. We must be willing to make amends where we've done harm, provided that we still don't bring about more harm. In other words, we treat sex like any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do in each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. It says God alone judges our sex situation. Later on, it tells me, if sex is troublesome, I throw myself harder into working with others.
Yeah.
You can tell the people who have troubles in their sex. They do a lot of service work. It was like going to the newcomer. Come with me. We need to go have coffee. I got sex problems. I got to help others. Let's go through the book. Get your 12 and 12 in your big book, please. They got like 20, 30, 50 sponsees. Okay.